I'm Pima County Attorney Laura Conover, and welcome to the People's Office Podcast. Our goal here is to share and discuss some of the most important information and issues affecting Pima County today. We're having real conversations and reflections on what you care about as we do our part to create change in the justice system. Greetings, I'm Laura Conover at the People's Office, and we are here for our second podcast ever, the first of 2024, the People's Office Podcast. It's an opportunity for us to get into certain issues and get a little bit more information, a little bit more in-depth in our never-ending attempt to educate on the fascinating criminal justice system. So joining me today for this second podcast is Chief of Detectives, Fabian Pacheco, welcome, and Executive Director of 88 Crime, Babette McDonald. I'm very excited to have them join us today. We're gonna get into 88 Crime. So why don't we just start by defining 88 Crime and how it works?
So 88 Crime has been around for better half of four decades, actually 46 years. Similar to many other programs that exist across the nation for citizens to report anonymously tips to law enforcement that'll help them solve cases. 88 Crime models Crime Stopper, Silent Witness. Many of our other municipalities, other cities across the country have similar programs. But about 46 years ago, Pima County decided to create 88 Crime. It's been in existence since then, and throughout the years, it has proven to be quite valuable for law enforcement, but most importantly, for ensuring safety and security of our community by allowing citizens a mechanism to report or submit tips if they have information on crimes, unsolved crimes, mostly felonies, to provide that information to law enforcement and do their part in solving crimes.
So Chief, you are the Chief of Detectives here at the Pima County Attorney's Office. Prior to that, you were with the Tucson Police Department. So tell us, give us an example, if you would, of how a tip comes in and how it can be useful to law enforcement. Maybe use a case as an example.
Oh, definitely, certainly. My prior career at Tucson Police Department, I spent many years as a detective. And during that time, there were a lot of cases that I had, especially in homicides. Some cases, really, you run out of leads after a certain point in time, and there's not much going on with those. We learned to leverage 88 Crime to get leads from the community. And in many cases, I recall out of the blue, a tip comes in. And next thing you know, the case is back on track. I had several of which, you know, I was able to solve because of the tips from people within our community. So it is, as a detective, it's another tool in the toolbox that detectives have the ability to continue and solve their cases. It works very closely with the media, because 88 Crime is very closely aligned with the media to get that information out to the community. There's always people out in Pima County and that have information on crimes, unsolved crimes, and perhaps for whatever reason they may not feel comfortable presenting themselves at a police station or speaking with law enforcement directly. They may feel more comfortable just utilizing 88 Crime. And there's various methods on reporting crime, which we'll talk about here as we continue our conversation on it.
I was going to ask you, so let's say someone has seen something they want to report it, they want to be helpful, but they don't really want to be dealing with law enforcement or sort of exposing themselves. So it's as simple as picking up the phone and dialing 88 and then the letter CRIME. Is that, how does it work for the public?
Yeah, it's certainly, that's exactly how it works. And here next to me is Babette McDonald, our executive director, who really can cover that closely. But essentially, it is very simple to use. There's a number of reasons why citizens might feel fearful to provide the information. They want to remain anonymous, and 88 Crimes allows them to do that. Right. There are people, whatever their motivation is to provide the information, some people want to do it because it's the right thing. They want to help law enforcement. They want to live in safe, secure communities. Other people might be seeking, there is a reward they're eligible for if their case is solved. If it leads to an arrest, then they qualify for a reward up to $2,500. So, Babette?
So let's get into that. Thank you so much, Chief. So stepping back for just a little bit, Babette, I want to say that you've been here at the Pima County Attorney's Office, I think almost three decades yourself. Many wonderful years of service in the Victim Services Division. But I'm especially pleased now that you are the director of our 88 Crime Division here at the Pima County Attorney's Office.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Of course. So we've gone from, we have a member of the public, they've witnessed something or they've come into knowledge of a crime, they want to report it, and they dial in. Tell us a little bit about what happens next and in your division.
Sure. Well, the first thing I just want to clarify is that we do not take mm-hmm. phone calls on in-progress crime calls. So if you're in your vehicle and you're seeing somebody driving erratically, you are to call 911. However, let's say you fall, just as you had said, you fall into some information and you believe it is to be the case, you can do three different ways of calling into our tip line. So you can call the 88 Crime phone number. You can go onto 88crime.org, which is our website. And when you pull that up, it gives you the ability to report mm-hmm. a tip. All of this is done on encrypted phone lines. We don't trace anything. And the third way is to actually download an application on an iPhone or on a Droid that is P3. And that is the software that we work and collaborate with law enforcement. So let's say you're mm-hmm. reporting a tip and you're actually going to call in. We tell everybody that we talk to, and if you're filing something on the P3 app or on our website, not to give any identifying information. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are very fearful about retaliation. So what we are instilling in them is we don't tape our phone calls. It is an encrypted phone line. We don't have caller ID. It is actually a separate phone that doesn't even look like a phone when the calls are coming in. So it doesn't look like our regular phones that we use here. And mm-hmm. so what that person will say is telling the person who's taking the calls, whatever the situation might be, or you're typing it into the websites that are protected and that are anonymous. And then what happens, let's say you as a caller are very nervous and you say, my name is Susie. We will not update that information at all. Everything is completely anonymous. We do not state in our statements or forwarding to law enforcement if it's a male, if it's a female, if it's an older individual. We don't put any identifying information in. And so we sanitize each tip. So therefore, once we get that tip and you hang up the number or you hang up the call, mm-hmm. What we do is we give you a case number and a password. And you are the only person besides our office that has that information. So if you choose to not give that information to anyone, which is what we are asking you to do, you will be safe because we don't give any information. Then what we do is we have the specific detective or sergeant or captain receiving these tips and then forwarding them to the appropriate agency and their appropriate people, and then going out, and it only helps them with the investigation. So let's say the investigation comes through, and due to this tip, they were able to arrest somebody. Yeah. And so what happens then is you have the ability as that anonymous caller to either go on the website and put additional information in, call our number. You don't call and say, my name is this. You say, here's my tip number. Here's my password. I have future information that I want to be recorded. The beauty of this also is we are the liaison between law enforcement and the tipster who's calling, because we can actually reach out to law enforcement and they might say, could you ask this person the color of the vehicle? They can't communicate with that person.
Right.
They don't know who they are. We can communicate because we know what their tip number is and password is, but we still don't know who they are. And then we can forward that information to the tipster and they can determine, do I want to tell them what color the vehicle is? So as long as they are an anonymous source within our program, we will be the liaison with law enforcement. And so then law enforcement actually reports that information back to us to say this tip actually led to the arrest. And that's where our nonprofit board comes into play. So I don't want to jump ahead. Yeah. I want to let you see if you have any other questions about the actual tips.
We will talk about that. But I wanted to pause for a moment. One of the things that I think has been such a huge part of the success for 88 Crime when you've been building something for 40 plus years is that it's just become standard practice that when the media reports on an investigation and it's still ongoing, that's just about how every media article, whether it's written or on TV, ends. It ends with this investigation is ongoing. If you have any information, please contact 88 Crime. And that's fantastic. But there's also always, of course, you know, logos or brands or images that can be associated with 88 Crime. Babette, is there a particular image that's been associated these many years with 88 Crime?
Yes, there is. So many of you out in the audience are familiar with McGruff.
McGruff, I have to bring this up because Babette came here to do the podcast. She brings me this adorable McGruff. And so just tell us a little bit about how he works. He's in his jacket, and I think it's fascinating. I looked him up when I first got here because his image has changed a lot over the last 40 years. He was kind of a, you know, you can picture from 40 years ago, he had a hat, and it was just, it was very, I'm thinking of just like those old police shows,
right.
The black and white police shows
right.
at the time. But yes. so tell us a little bit about,
sure.
about McGruff here.
Sure, so McGruff is known as the crime dog. And so where McGruff is really known, it's very interesting when we go out to do our collaborations with law enforcement and other nonprofits, how many parents actually recognize
right.
McGruff. And
yep.
McGruff then is then utilized in the schools for the kids to know. McGruff is a safe person to be able to report crime to. In addition, kids' teachers, principals, all of those other people are also safe people to report things that they're scared to report. McGruff is out there mm-hmm. teaching the public, teaching the kids that what they say is important, but it can also be anonymous. And so many times when we're out in the communities and we're talking to a lot of different people that say, I have a lot of information, but I don't want to give any information. It's not anonymous. We can really assure these people that it is anonymous by going over, it's an encrypted phone line, by going over, we don't trace anything, we don't record anything. And McGruff is one of our spokesperson who goes out and
yeah.
deals
oh, yeah.
and plays
yeah.
with the kids. Yeah. And we also do something really special when we go to different events with kids, is we have a Crime Stoppers badge that they will yeah. wear, and they are known as a McGruff Crime Stopper Excellent. Representative, that they can do this in the hallways of their own schools.
It's very reassuring, right? And I think it's an important message for kids that it's important to report things to a safe place. And speaking of McGruff, you mentioned earlier the nonprofit board that is so generous with their time. Generally speaking, they're fundraising for the reward money needed to keep this whole cycle going. But there's a couple of them also that will get into the McGruff costume, and I'm always so happy to see them out at our resource fairs on nights and weekends.
I think it's very important really to take a moment and recognize the folks that serve on the board of directors. They volunteer countless hours to serve on these boards, And yes, in fact, they really do a lot of fundraising. While we're on that topic, and as we discuss the rewards that are paid out to the tipsters, it's important to remember that all this money that's paid to the tipsters, whether it's, they can range from up to $2,500 depending on the case itself. None of that money is taxpayer money. It all comes through the generous donations of people within our community, and also through the fundraising efforts for a lot of, done by a lot of our board members. So,
yes, and some of our board members are past law enforcement representatives, and so they actually go out and put on the costume, and it is a very serious thing to have to do, and it is very warm underneath the helmet. So
it is.
Yes. So
it is. No, it's so giving of their time.
It really is.
And as former law enforcement, I think they've been on that receiving end when a tip comes in. You know, they're having some frustration on a case. Leads have dried up. Leads have gone cold, and that tip comes in, and suddenly the case is solvable. Can we talk a little bit about numbers or data that tell us the fruits of the labor here?
So what we can say is in the last 46 years, over 106,000 tips have come into our tip line just in Pima County. And that is unbelievable. Over 6,300 arrests have been made. We have, with law enforcement, doing, of course, all of the investigating items. Over $92.5 million of drugs have been seized and are no longer in our community. Law enforcement is very vocal in the fact that without these tips, there are several cases they would have never solved. Yeah. Several cold homicide cases. Yeah. Aggravated assault, sexual molestation, all of these different components that the public is calling us on. Because why 88 Crime was originally formed and why Crime Stoppers originally came into place is back in Albuquerque, New Mexico in 1976, there was a gentleman who thought of the fact of what would it look like if the entire community had their eyes on what was going on in the community, because the police can only be at so many places at one time. Sure. And so that's how Crime Stoppers was formed. And so now when we do the law enforcement dinners and the other things, law enforcement is always very vocal about the fact we would have never solved this crime if that person out in the community would not have picked up the phone and been brave and realized that it is anonymous. That person would still be in our community committing future crimes.
Right. Yes.
And so these statistics are very, very important. And it really is amazing with the collaboration. We could not do this without law enforcement. Yeah. We could not do this without the media. The media is the third component in addition. And so with all of that, it's just a partnership and a collaboration that works. So, and is really successful.
So it's extremely important that partnership that we have with all of the law enforcement agencies in Pima County. But we've also extended outside of Pima County, some to Santa Cruz County. We get some tips out of Cochise County as well. So this partnership with our law enforcement agencies, Babette, her staff, myself, we go out to law enforcement agencies, training academies, whenever they have a new group of new detectives and they have to go through a detective training academy. So they've been very generous in allowing us an opportunity to come and present to them 30 minutes, an hour long training. And we tell them about 88 Crime, how they can use 88 Crime to obtain that information to further their investigations, and we explain how the P3 tip line works. When we send them tips to whatever agency it pertains to, we show them how to look at the tip, and if the tip helps them in their investigation, that's great. If it doesn't, they just close it out and send that back to me or back to our office. But in cases like Babette described earlier, where the case detective is saying, well, this tipster that I just received, it sounds pretty good. Could you ask the tipster a little bit more follow-up information? They go through 8A Crime because we are 8A Crime are the intermediaries. We want to keep that separation. Also to keep the tipster from qualifying for that reward. There are times when the tipster agrees to speak directly to the detective, then they communicate and share all that information. But that training opportunity, that training we provide for law enforcement to utilize 8A Crime has proven valuable for them and to further their cases. Just like Babette mentioned, there's so many cases out there that perhaps would still be unsolved today had it not been for 8A Crime and a lot of the citizens out there that see something, say something, and they want to utilize 8A Crime to get that information to us. And it's been very encouraging to see some of these cases, some of which have been pretty horrific, to get that information. Once that it goes through 8A Crime, perhaps it's shown in the media. Next thing you know, you have tipsters providing us with that information. We quickly send it to the appropriate law enforcement agency, and they act upon it pretty quickly. And they're very thankful for those efforts.
I want to talk for just a little bit more about encouraging people to call and how that works. But before we do, can we share a little bit about the amazing partnership, the amazing dynamic duo, if you will, who are taking in most of these calls?
Sure. About the caller, the people who are taking the calls.
Right, for us.
Yes. So these two people who like to remain anonymous, in addition, are excellent at active listening skills, reassuring callers how it is anonymous, how this process works. They are very good at instrumentally getting the tipsters to relay information because a lot of these people are nervous. So they'll walk them through that process. They'll take as long as it takes for that person to feel comfortable. They reassure them. They are also given that tip information, the number and the password, so that they can call back in. And what we have found is some people prefer to call versus to just go on the computer because of that, you know, individual connection that they have. And again, nobody knows who they are, and we don't know who the tipsters are. Right. And so they're amazing. They are amazing. And what I can say is these few positions are instrumental in the fact that you can't just walk in and just take these calls. It can't be anybody just coming off the street and doing this. It is somebody who's been doing it, and we have history here. We have people who are doing it for 7 and 8 years. And so it just becomes more and more apparent of their skills. So it's really great.
High value employees. It is.
Absolutely.
I can't speak enough of these two Pima County Attorney's Office employees that we have in those two positions. They're critical positions, and that takes a while to develop the understanding of how 8A Crime works. When a tip comes in, to be able to look at it and determine, well, this incident that the tipster is talking about happened in the city limits of Tucson or it happened in the county. One, you need to know geographics and boundaries and jurisdictions for these law enforcement agencies. Once you determine that, you say, okay, if it's in the city, what type of crime are we talking about? Is it an aggravated assault, a robbery, burglary? And then they know who in particular am I going to send that tip to. So they've been doing it for so long and so well that they know, Sergeant so-and-so from TPD, that's the tip goes to this person. Or is it a narcotics type tip? Oh, that's going to go to this agency, or is going to go to Sheriff's Department, Directed Patrol, or TPD Community Response Team, or might even go to other agencies. So they're excellent at handling those tips and forwarding them where they need to go. So that's really where it all happens. We do get tips after hours and on the weekends, And those come to me directly from the call center. And oftentimes, kind of like Babette mentioned earlier, if the tipster is calling in a crime in progress, we encourage them to please call 911 and report those. Because 88 Crime doesn't have the ability to do any of those.
Right.
But sometimes we will get a tip from the 88 call center. Last year, around September or so, received a tip that came in that I felt I needed to act upon right away. The tipster was calling about a coworker at a business here in Southern Arizona, where the coworker, they felt the coworker was perhaps planning on coming to some workplace violence.
Oh, wow.
So that's not something that we can wait or sit on immediately. We need to act upon it right away. And we did make the necessary calls, and it turned out to be handled prior to anything terrible happen. But those are off and on the weekends we get those calls. But mostly our two employees down there are there constantly, and they're really good at what they do, listening to the tipsters, eliciting that information, encouraging people, reassuring him, the tipster, that all our information is protected, it's completely anonymous, and explaining the process for how they can also claim their reward. And I think that's an important component too. That's how 88 Crime works, and I think Babette can cover that really good on how that works too.
Sure. So just one last thing about the staff. They're incredible. Also, they have to have the ability, which they do, to form connections.
Right.
So they have relationships with law enforcement in addition. And so the whole process works. So again, I just want to say how much we appreciate the staff down there. What happens then is, as far as somebody, let's say an arrest is made, law enforcement reports to us to ensure that this tipster's information was how the crime was solved. It might not be. It could be. So let's say it is. Right. A lot of times it is. And so once we hear from law enforcement, we go ahead and I bring that before the board of directors to say they don't get any other information except for completely anonymous information.
Right.
So this person called, this is what happened, you know, they were instructing, giving the information of the person's name and their date of birth, and due to this, the tip was solved. So generally, there is a component based on our P3 system, which is what law enforcement records in and we record in. And there's a formula that is then created for the type of crime. So nationally, everybody's kind of on the same page as far as what people should be rewarded for. Mm-hmm. However, our nonprofit board has the capability of increasing that reward amount. So let's say the tipster called, the reward was really $500 is what the system is telling us. Mm-hmm. But law enforcement comes and says, let me tell you, without this tipster, we would not have had any of this information. And not only that, but more people were arrested at the time of the incident. Mm-hmm. So then the board will say, I really want to increase that reward amount by $500. I want the tipster to get $1,000.
Oh, interesting.
So the biggest question was when I first started, okay, how does that tipster pick up the money?
Right.
If we don't know who they are and
right.
we have no identifying information. So again, we're going to go back to that tip number and the password. What they will do is they will know after the board of directors meeting, once the board approves this, that yes, they're entitled to a tip. And in 88 Crime and the board, we work with all different banks across Pima County. And so whichever bank we choose to have that specific reward go to, we forward the information of the tip number and the password to the bank. That's all they know. They don't know anything else.
Right.
So you being the tipster, you know your tip number, you know your password, and you walk into the bank. So it is a collaboration with all of the banks here. And what happens then is they will exchange the information of the case number and the password, and then they will hand the tipster cash without showing any ID because nobody knows who they are.
Right.
And then the tipster walks out with cash And that's how the exchange is made, which is really unbelievable in my eyes.
It is.
Because I was just like, isn't it? It's just such a creative way of doing it while also allowing the anonymity piece.
Right, right.
And so it's
preserving it.
Preserving it and protecting these individuals who are calling with such crucial information.
I think it's also important to note, though, that a lot of people that submit tips, they're not interested in the reward money. Many of them just want to do the right thing and provide information because they don't want these folks that committed these crimes in their community, in their neighborhoods and whatnot. And they just say, well, this is the information, and they're really willing to even speak with law enforcement directly too. Many of them not interested in the reward. But the reward process is very good in the way it's structured. And certainly how the board takes into consideration, you know, what amount to give the tipster in terms of the reward. Yeah, number of arrests, property recovered,
right,
drugs seized, firearms seized, that sort of stuff. That all factors in, and in their determination on how much to offer as a reward. So it's a tremendous program. Naturally, the board members, once a year, they put on their 8-8 Crime Awards banquet.
Right.
And that's the opportunity that we have to all come together and do the bulk of our fundraising, or at least 8-8 Crime's bulk of the fundraising. But most importantly, I think, is the opportunity to bring law enforcement in there as our guests of honor and recognize law enforcement for their hard work and sacrifice,
right,
in working these cases. So it's such a great event. And we really can't thank those community members enough that do support us in these fundraising efforts.
Speaking of education campaigns, one of the things that our outreach team has been talking about a lot in the last 6 months or so is just the need to report in general. There has been some discouragement in calling if you feel like you're going to wait too long or you're not going to get a response. And so very generally speaking, we've been talking a lot about if you see crime, please continue to report it. If it's not reported, law enforcement doesn't even have a chance to respond. If law enforcement's not responding, our office can't ever open a file and hold anyone accountable. And 88 Crime is a huge part of that. So Chief and I were at a Westside Neighborhood Association meeting just last night, where people were talking about not just feeling discouraged about getting a response when they call, but they're talking about neighborhood concerns, right? That they're concerned that a house in the neighborhood is trafficking drugs in and out, or firearms. And that's where you get into that need for privacy and security.
Yes.
And anonymity. And that's just the crucial part of 88 Crime. And I want to see if we can end on another population, because I've been so pleased at the board's efforts, at the efforts by the two of you to increase 88 Crime's ability to do everything in both English and in Spanish. And I know you guys can share why that's such a crucial need.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we really need to reach our Spanish-speaking segment of our community, because it does make up a large percentage of folks out there that really have the ability to also partner with us, and they feel comfortable in Spanish also communicating with us, and we have that capability to reach out for them as well. And that program, we're making inroads in that capacity also to explain 88 Crime program to our Spanish-speaking citizens, so they know how it works, and to partner with us and get us that information that can, you know, help make their community safe as well. So it's outstanding.
Right. You want to feel comfortable that you're being understood, of course. And additionally, if your immigration status is in question at all, for right or for wrong, people can believe they shouldn't have anything to do with law enforcement out of fear, that their immigration status could be discovered. And of course, then that can be preyed upon, right? If you think witnesses are never going to call in, and so 88 crime and the bilingual aspect of that is tremendously important for people who are extra vulnerable and need to be able to report crime. And we need them to share what they've seen in order to solve really important crimes.
Yeah.
That's absolutely legitimate concerns in that segment of the community that may be fearful of coming into law enforcement in general for whatever reasons. And immigration can certainly be a major factor in that. And certainly having 88 crime available to them so that they can get that information out to law enforcement, at least through 88 crime,
right,
or however they do. And this is important for us, because really, I mean, nobody should live in fear. Nobody should live in a community where they don't feel safe reporting crime that's taking place in their community. So we encourage that.
Yeah, and if I may, our 88 crime website, we'd like to encourage everybody to go on there, 88crime.org. That is in 5 different languages.
Wow.
So if you go on and you're Spanish speaking, you can pull down a menu that will change the entire website to Spanish, and of course French and different languages. In addition, it gives each of the viewers or our community members the ability to look through the different pictures of people that we're searching for, that law enforcement is searching for. And so that capability, that's something that we felt really strongly about when I first came in, getting that language barrier to be replaced with everybody could see that. And so it's really instrumental. So 88crime.org is our website. And yeah, so we want to reach everybody. Yeah. We are willing to talk to whomever in our call center that answers after hours. As Fabian had mentioned, they speak Spanish.
Right.
And so the need is there.
Right.
So everybody can give the information at any time and feel comfortable.
So really quick, I just want to add one more thing. Some of the Crime Stopper programs throughout the country, that program is housed within the police departments in some cities. Here, it's unique and it's very effective and it works to our advantage because the 88 crime program is housed right here in the people's office in Pima County Attorney's office. So, I mean, it works perfect and folks really feel comfortable coming to us and reporting things through 88 crime.
Yeah.
So that's a little different how it works here for us.
The separation and, you know, in our ability, as you said, Babette, to be like that liaison, debemos decir, entonces, vamos a repetir toda esta plática en español después. And with that, we'll have this conversation in Spanish as well to make sure we're getting the word out more and more to all of our community. We spoke a little bit about earlier about it's not just Pima County, it's actually expanded a little bit into Santa Cruz County, Bisbee, and I think sometimes people forget that Pima County is all the way from Ajo to Green Valley.
Yes.
It covers a lot. But tell me about the history a little bit with tip lines and the University of Arizona and where we're headed next.
Perfect. I just want to thank Chief Olson for his collaboration. So previously, about 6 months ago or a year ago, the U of A had their own tip line. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, certain law enforcement agencies will have their tip line. The benefit is, though, with 88 Crime is it's anonymous and we pay rewards for that information.
Right.
But I recently met with the chief and he determined that they no longer have the U of A tip line. They are only utilizing 88 crime. So this recent collaboration is just outstanding because we're going to be able to work with so many other students, and with Chief Olson's help, we're going to be able to collaborate better with that entire community, which we haven't been doing in the past.
That sounds like fantastic progress.
Yes, absolutely.
There's another question I had. We've talked a lot about how a tipster file something, and if it's successful and it leads to an arrest or a seizure, there's a reward. Is there something about supplemental rewarding that we should mention?
Yeah, great point. So a supplemental reward is utilized generally on homicide cases where maybe a business or a family member or somebody wants to give additional monies. The 88 Crime Board can only give out up to $2,500 rewards, but family members or businesses want to additionally put more monies towards the reward. So we have, if you go on our website, it will show you some flyers where actually $10,000 is being rewarded to somebody with this information if an arrest is made.
I see.
How that is incorporated is we have through 88 Crime Inc., the nonprofit organization, they have a contract agreement that I work along with the person who is willing to donate that money. They sign a contract that is with 88 Crime Inc., the board of directors, and then that money is put in a restrictive fund for that family member or business to be able to promote and give more money towards finding the person and arrest to be made. So it's very, very positive for the families or for businesses who feel like they can't do anything. And being able to put additional monies sometimes might help the family. So we have quite a few of those agreements going on. And again, all of those flyers are on our website. So if the public can go on and look at those and say something if they see something or if they know something, that's essential in order to get some answers for these families.
Absolutely.
Of people who have been killed.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
And so with that, I really want to thank Chief Fabian Pacheco and our executive director, Babette McDonald, for joining us today with the fascinating and important story of 88 Crime. We'll see you again next time for episode number 3. Take care. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and PCAO newsletter. We'll have links in the description. If you have a show idea or questions, just email us at thepeoplesofficepodcast@pcao.pima.gov. Until next time, thank you for joining us. To be continued.